I still got a reason to praise. Still got a reason to praise. Well, I never not had a reason to pray. Always had a reason to pray, even when I was away from God. If anybody had a reason to pray, it was me at all times. Folks, welcome. It is Monday. Happy Monday morning. Hope you're all wearing your armor of God today and that you are rapture ready. And that you've got that oil lamp burning beside your bed on your nightstand. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, May 20th, year of our Lord, 2024. And here we are together once again for fellowship, for praise, for thanksgiving, for love, kindness, compassion, gratitude, getting right with ourselves and with God. Realizing what we did last week or yesterday and changing that so we don't make the same mistakes or go down that same wide path again. This is where we reset. Yesterday was Pentecost, ladies and gentlemen. A very important time for Christianity. Literally the birthday, I would say, of Christianity. And so we're going to talk today, as we start today's show, about what type of Christian that we are. And I think it changes through time, right? It should. Now, if you find yourself being one of the three types of Christians that we're going to talk about today, there's nothing wrong with that. The good news is you are a Christian. There's really no bad news. It's just what type of Christian are you? And I'm not talking about what denomination you are. I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist or if you are a, you know, Protestant or if you're Presbyterian. W. Wilson says, I wore my shirt like that yesterday, Jeremy. Great minds. That's right. Great minds think alike. Amen. That's not the type of Christians we're going to talk about today. So, I hope you all had a wonderful day yesterday. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I had a very peaceful weekend. And I'm going to tell you a little story after we say our prayers here in a few minutes about how I noticed that I have changed over the last 8 months. Michelle Crow, good morning to everybody I've missed. Have a blessed day. Also, we have a birthday in the house today. Water Cop. It is Water Cop's birthday, so let's all sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Water Cop. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We hope you have a wonderful birthday. Just don't want to ever be a lukewarm Christian, Mad Tess. A lot of us are, and that's okay. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's a growth thing. Every single one of us is a lukewarm Christian at some point in our journey. And not only at some point, we find ourselves lukewarm Christians at many points in our journey with Jesus. And that's okay. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's nerfect, right? That's okay. The bottom line is you are a Christian. And you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins away and that he died for that and rose on the third day. There's your core. That's your core. That is your foundation. So never let anybody tell you, well, you're not a Christian because, no, I might just be at a different journey with my journey with Jesus than you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. Chef says, Jeremy, where do you find these great songs? God. God brings them to me. God brings them to me. And I just do what I always do. If I'm not in the studio or if I'm not getting ready for a show, I archive it. I save it. And I say, God, when do you want me to play this song? When do you want me to do this message? And I thought with Pentecost, today would be a perfect day to talk about what kind of Christian we are. Jeremy, this Wednesday, my son graduates from pre-K. This mama isn't ready. Oh, I know. I know. I'm not ready to leave my daughter either and move away 1,200, 1,300 miles. It's hard. It's hard. Pentecost will be June 6th. Michelle Curl, I'm growing, learning every day. There was Jesus. Where is our faithless leader? I hope all is okay. Where is our fearless leader? I hope all is okay. I'm right here, Sandra. Unless you're talking about God. And in that case, God is always okay. Not sure what you mean. Maybe some people aren't getting on the show. Prayers for recovery. Sherry. Oh, I didn't know Sherry was recovering from something. Definitely prayers for recovery. So let's talk about it today. All right, let's get into it. We are May 20th, 2024. Let's get to our prayers and then let's get to a story and we'll get right deep into what kind of Christian we are currently right now. All right? Okay. Actually, Pentecost is June 11th, somebody said. Somebody said June 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to it. Lord and Heavenly Father, what a great weekend. What a great time. What a great time to celebrate the birth of Christianity. However, the birth of Christianity was long before Jesus really walked the earth. But today, during this time that we look back and remember and learn and read the words of Jesus Christ, let us also reflect on how we're following him. Let us reflect on who we are, who God made us to be, and what God sent us to do. Help us examine ourselves, Lord God, to find out exactly where we are in our walk with Jesus. What kind of Christians are we right now? Lord, a lot of times when you give us a mirror to look at our souls, we don't see something pretty. And some people take offense to that. But that's okay. We're supposed to. That is you pleading with our Holy Spirit to help guide us the right way so we don't live with a guilty conscience. We thank you for the blessings that you give and bestow upon this entire fellowship, and we ask that you bless each and every eye and ear that is consuming this message today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We should be mature in our walk. Jeremy, it looks a lot like this chat. Do not have pink donation color like me. Not sure what's going on. I will recheck my monthly donation. Well, a lot of the times people are unfollowed automatically, and that automatically takes away your like monthly Rumble Rant donation for whatever reason. Don't know why that is. I've talked to the team about it. They don't even know why it happened. So that's why I ask when everybody logs in or everybody, you know, jumps on the show, make sure you're logged in and make sure you're following the page. It's the only way you're going to get notifications. And it's the only way you're going to be able to live chat. And it's the only way you're going to be able to give us a thumbs up. And it's the only way you're going to be able to Rumble Rant. Everybody here has a responsibility every single morning when they jump on their shows to make sure that they are, one, signed in, and two, following that page. That is everybody's daily responsibility here. Okay? All right. I want to tell you a story. Everybody here knows I have a short temper, and everybody here knows I have a short fuse. Well, that fuse has gotten longer over the last couple of years by a lot. It's only through this growth over the last couple of years that I can look back and realize how incredibly bad I really was, like how incredibly short my fuse actually was. And it makes you feel horrible. It makes you feel terrible that you were that person, that you embodied that characteristic or whatever. It's kind of like hindsight, right? But when you look back and you go, man, was I dumb? Man, was I stupid? Man, did I hurt a lot of people with my, a lot of people right here in this live chat, or probably not here anymore. That's right, Char. That's right. Pentecost is 40 days after the resurrection, so it's a different day every year, depending on when Resurrection Day was. 100%. Yep. So because you are lukewarm or neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16 ESV Bible says not to be lukewarm. No, it does. But what happens to those people who are on their journey and are just becoming lukewarm? There's immature, there's lukewarm, and then there's mature, right? God isn't saying, if you are lukewarm at this moment in your life, I will spit you out of my mouth. If you are a lukewarm Christian and you go in front of Jesus, that's when he will spit you out of his mouth. There's no possible way that God could be talking about every lukewarm Christian at that moment in their journey with Jesus, that they are lukewarm. Will he spit them out of his mouth? Does he detest them? That can't be possible. How else would you grow? Nobody gets saved by Jesus and then is all the way to the end of their journey with him because they accepted him in their life. We have to make sure we're understanding what we read when we read it so that we understand the context in which God says it. Meaning that if there's no journey and you're supposed to be just perfect because you accepted Jesus, then what do you learn? God wants you to learn these things. He wants you to fall off the small path sometimes. He wants you to be immature sometimes. He wants you to be lukewarm sometimes so that you can learn through the process, so that that can become less and less and less. That's what the journey is all about. He's not addressing you at your like present time. He's addressing the church as a whole. He's addressing religious leaders. He's addressing people who are teaching. He's addressing people who are spreading gospel. MD, you are 100% right. Lukewarm could also be defined as a baby Christian. That's exactly Right. And that is why we are going to go through them today. But before we do, I want to talk about this anger thing. So this morning, I woke up and saw that, and I don't mean to be gross. I know some people might be drinking their Rise Up coffee early this morning. I don't mean to be disgusting, but it's the only way I can say it. I woke up to find that one of my dogs had explosive diarrhea in my kitchen. So bad, in fact, that it was on the front of the oven and the cabinets. But the worst part about it is that it wasn't only on those. We have wooden floors in the house that we're trying to sell. And those wooden floors are somewhat old, so they have cracks in them. So the dog's number two went through all the cracks. And I had to sit there this morning with a toothpick and Q-tips and clean out cracks with a Lysol, wipe on the end of it and clean out each crack. And it took me about 40 minutes to do that when I woke up before my coffee. That's what I got to walk down to and stepped in it. Fun. Now, I don't beat my animals or anything like that, but I am definitely been known to bring them over to their accident, put their face in front of it, scold them, and put them outside. Mornings are rough when that happens. But you guys will be very happy to know that I didn't yell. I didn't scream. I didn't get upset. I didn't flip out. I didn't wake everybody up. I didn't hit the dog. I woke up this morning. Oh, a toothbrush, yeah. That would have worked too. I woke up this morning and I saw that, checked my sock, did a half smile, and I said, of course that happened on a Monday. Of course that happened this morning before I go to work. After I spent 8 hours this weekend working in this studio to try to convert all of my computer files over to the new computer that I'm taking to the new studio so that I can just basically go there, plug and play, and have it look just like this every day. And I was so tired, and that happened this morning. But I said, of course that happens on a Monday. I said, come on, outside. I went outside. I said, bad girl, you know. Sat there and cleaned it up, got my coffee, kissed my wife, woke up, kissed my wife goodbye, and came to work. I said to myself on the way to work, I said, self, good job. Pat myself on the back. Because I really, that is a very big difference from what it normally would be. And this journey with Jesus has taught me so many things. But one thing that it definitely taught me was our lives are very short. And we never even get 1 second back. We never get a half a second back. And I already regret enough in my life that I did or said or didn't do or didn't say that I'm not about to regret anymore. So I half smiled. I said, of course that happened. And while I was cleaning it and gagging because I have a very weak stomach, I'm sitting there going, cleaning it this morning. I said to God, thank you. Thank you so much. Because it's only because Jesus that that's possible. No human being was ever able to, you know, temper me or tame me. And I've never been able to do it. But the fact of the matter is, I wasn't angry. And I didn't start my I did not allow that bad thing that happened to me this morning, which to most of you probably isn't a big thing. To me, it's a big thing, right? But think about the bad things that happen to you in the morning. Don't let them dictate the rest of your day. Like I remember there's a time when, like just say Even producer Eli came in a bad mood, I would then like kind of soak it in, and then I would let that set the rest of my day. And I'm like, oh man, the more I did that, the more I realized, wow, you are literally like a sponge of bad. You are literally soaking in all the bad around you, and you're forgetting about all the good that's in you. And I've just, I don't know, over the last couple weeks, I really realized that, you know? Again, not even a big thing. Like the dog could help it, right? Like the dog sat there and went, you know what? I'm going to explosive diarrhea all over this guy's kitchen. You know what I mean? It's not like the dog could make it to the toilet. Although that would be pretty impressive. Maybe we should teach the dog to do that. So anyway, like, ladies and gentlemen, that's just my morning story for you. But now we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of today's show. What kind of Christian are you? Well, I broke it down to three categories, okay? And those three categories are broke down to the cultural Christian, the traditional Christian, and the biblical Christian. I'll repeat those for you. The cultural Christian, the traditional Christian, and the biblical Christian. And the reason why I stuck so much on the word lukewarm was because I want to make sure that when we say lukewarm, we're saying it correctly. Lukewarm does not mean a growing Christian or somebody who is not embodying every act and every thought of Christ. A lukewarm Christian is one that says, yeah, I believe in God, but doesn't do anything and loves the world more than God, but actually does believe that Jesus existed, believe that Jesus died for our sins, believe that he wants us to live a certain way, but has no desire to do it. That's a lukewarm Christian to a certain extent. I'm sure there's other characteristics and definitions that we could apply to that, but you know what I'm saying. What kind of Christian are you? Well, observe the context of Acts 2:11. The church was birthed in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, as recorded in Acts 21:41-47. The church grew rapidly in a short period of time. You can read that in Acts 4:4. Okay? Acts 4:4. Oh, Wild Root, thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. To invite somebody into one's home is a very gracious gesture, and I want to thank you very much. So remember these verses, okay? Write them down. Acts 2:41-47 talks about Pentecost. The church grew rapidly. That's Acts 4:4. And now I want you to write down Acts 8:4. The church was persecuted within weeks of its founding and never stopped. And believers began to scatter from Jerusalem. That's Acts 8:4. The church was established and it established a center of ministry in Antioch, Syria, 300 miles from Jerusalem. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire behind Rome and Alexandria. Antioch became the first place followers of Christ were called Christians, which was a gentle term to describe a follower of Jesus Christ. It is the Greek word Christianos. Antioch became a strong Christian center from which the first missionaries were officially sent out to evangelize. That's in Acts 13:1-3. Again, Acts 13:1-3. Antioch's pastor was Barnabas, 11:22-23. Whose name means the son of consolation. Barnabas was a true Christian example for Christians to follow. And Barnabas was a part of the first ever Christian missionary team. Now, here's your observation before we get to the three styles of Christians. Believers in Christ, the disciples, were first called Christians in Antioch because they were recognized as Christ's people. In other words, they were examples of Christ. Are you today? Say your name. Am I? Say your name. Now, if Biden was reading that, he'd go, am I? Say your name, period. Ask yourself, am I, Jeremy Harrell, a true example of Jesus Christ? Now's where the rubber meets the road. Cultural Christian, traditional Christian, biblical Christian. Let's break down the cultural Christian first. The cultural Christian, those who are not associated with any other religion, so you're not associated with Buddhism or Islam or Hindu or witchcraft or anything else, and those who are citizens of so-called Christian nations, a lot of those right here in America. Now, these are not necessarily saved and born again people. They are cultural Christians. They don't really know why they're a Christian. They grew up in a Christian nation. They just inherently, by default, believe in God and Jesus Christ, but they don't necessarily have a relationship with him, and also not necessarily saved people. They are just because they are a product of their environment. That is a cultural Christian. Is that you? I don't think so. If it was, you would not be here today. And if it is you, then you are new to this program, and that's okay. You got to start somewhere. You got to walk before you can run. Trust me, I'm only 8. That's the cultural Christian. You have to ask yourself, am I that? Now let's move to the traditional Christian. Here's the characteristics and how to identify if you are yourself a traditional Christian. Number one, those who ascend from a family lineage of Christianity. So like the Grahams, right? The Hams. The people that have been, their fathers were preaching the word. Their fathers were preaching the word. Those who ascend from a family lineage of Christianity. Number two, those who attend Christian named churches. And number three, those who attempt to follow Christian religious values. Those who attempt to follow Christian religious values. Also, these are not necessarily saved and born again people. Are you a traditional Christian? Do any of those apply to you? Do all of those apply to you? If they do, then you are a traditional Christian. And guess what? That's okay. Just means that you are on a different moment of your journey with Jesus than somebody else is. But you still believe in Christ. That means there is still salvation and still hope waiting for you if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet. I tried to get on twc.health, and every time it took me to something else, not TWC. It's twc.health/LFA. Just so you need to know, if you need to know. I'll look it up one more time here, but twc.health/LFA. Okay? So now we've gone through what a cultural Christian, for the most part, is, and what a traditional Christian, for the most part, is. Guess what? I've been both. I've tried to embody both after I made my decision to come to Christ. But now I feel like I have moved past that. Now, I don't think that I embody every one of these great and wonderful characteristics yet, but I do believe that I am now fitting into this category. And that is the biblical Christian. Those who have a personal relationship with and have personally trusted Christ as their Savior, hands down. Here is a bunch of different characteristics and sub-characteristics of a biblical Christian. You have immature, lukewarm disciples and biblicists, believe it or not. Let me say that again. You can be a biblical Christian and be lukewarm in your journey. You just don't stay lukewarm and you turn past that. People fall off and become lukewarm all the time. People go backwards and become lukewarm. Okay? Here's your four major categories: immature, lukewarm, disciples, and biblicists. This is under the biblical Christian. Let's go through this one. Number one, immature. Those who are born again babes in Christ. So, on the side of the interstate in 2016, crying, I was a born again babe in Christ. That was immaturity, but that's okay. Here's another sign of immaturity. Those who are worldly Christians, that means you have not yet let go of the world and all of its materialistic things, this, that, and the other, but you are desperately seeking Christ. And number three, subcategory of immature biblical Christian is those who are shallow in Bible understanding. So that means you hear a verse, take it out of context, think that it means one thing, spread the gospel as you think you're supposed to do, but you're spreading it incorrectly, or you didn't read the verse or the chapter before that and after that to get the correct context. That was me as well at one time. How about you? Now you have your lukewarm biblical Christians. First subcategory, those who have professed Christ as their Savior, those who are good church members, and those who not sold out to Christ. See what I'm saying? That last one really brought it all home. You got those who profess Christ as their Savior. Great. We all need to do that. Those who are good church members, great. That is what God wants us to do. Those who are not sold out to Christ. That one right there might convict some people. Okay? So you have your carnal Christian, which is immature section. You have your average Christian, which is in the lukewarm section. But there's also another category of average Christian, which is the normal Christian. 1 John 2:6. Those who abide in Christ, they have truly trusted Christ as their Savior and have a life of service, fruit, and ministry to prove it. Folks, this is the normal Christian. This is what the most people are that are walking Christ. I would say, I mean, on this channel right here, most of you that are on here right now are that. Bad Moon says, are there a reason why we are dissecting Christians? Yes, there is. Pentecost. The birth of Christianity. What we're supposed to be what we grow to be, and what we all acknowledge that we have felt or walked in at one point. And this is to encourage all of us to take the next step into the next stage of Christianity, the next mile with Jesus. Those who walk as Christ walked, they endeavor to obey the teachings of Christ. Those are what you call disciples of today. Those who abide in Christ, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, they have a life of service, and you can see their fruit, and they have ministry to prove it. Boom. Now you're a disciple. Now let's move into the spiritual Christian. And these are your biblicists. This is where we're all heading to. Those who have true spiritual discernment. That one right there is a big one. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because that one can be, it's such an important thing, but it can be about the smallest things in the world. Spiritual discernment, what you watch on TV, the garbage in and garbage out. That's spiritual discernment to know I should not be watching this. Even though there are a billion other things that are worse, and even though a billion people are watching this, I should not be watching and listening to this because I know that there's hidden messages in there. I know that there's subliminal messages for my eyes and my ears to see and hear. And I'm not even going to have that devil's doorway, which we talked about last week. I'm not even going to have that even a little bit open. That baby is sealed shut. Try to get through. Try. I'm in a safe room. Spiritual discernment. You have that, you are almost unstoppable. If not unstoppable, you have the armor of God on when you're able to have spiritual discernment. And I have just in my recent life have been able to do this. Cubs fan, spiritual discernment is not watching mainstream media. Hey, there you go, man. There you go. Biblicist, a new word for me, spiritual discernment. God has given me that. Kittenhead, Jeremy, can you please put a link to donate to Jeremy's channel, please? Oh, Suzanne, that would be wonderful if you could do that, and thank you. Here you go. Here's your second biblicist. Those who know the mind of Jesus Christ. Mic drop right there. These are your what would Jesus do, Christians? What would Jesus say, Christians? These are the what would Jesus do and say, Christians, that are able to have the spiritual discernment to ask that question before they make a decision or a statement. Boom! Mic drop right there. Right there. Oh, Kittenhead, thank you very much. Yeah, you see, some people have to redo it. I see that. Thank you for doing that, Kittenhead. I appreciate you. Spiritual discernment, but those who know the mind of Christ, do you know the mind of Christ? Do you know it? If I were to ask you right now, what would Jesus do in this scenario and what would he say? You would have to be able to not only tell me what he would do, not only tell me how he would solve or fix the situation or how he would approach it, but you also have to tell me where in the Bible, at least somewhere close, ballpark, like, I don't know what book in the Bible that Jesus said that in that situation. Now that is where I'm still growing. I'm still growing in spiritual discernment, which I do now have, but not as much as I want. And I am also growing in understanding and knowing the mind of Jesus Christ. I believe I could hold my own when it came to you give me a situation that Jesus needs to mediate. You give me a situation that Jesus needs to come in and have something to do with. What he would do and say about that, I not only would be able to tell you what he would do and say about it, but I would bet 50% of the situations I'd be able to tell you where to find it in the Bible. That, ladies and gentlemen, that is where we need to get to. All of us have been immature Christians. All of us have been lukewarm Christians. A lot of us have been or are now disciples, and some of us are getting into the biblicist arena. Now, we don't need medals. I don't need to brag and tell you, oh, I fit into this category now. No, this is for you. This is for you. Eileen says, I'm getting there too. Drury Warm says, Jeremy, that is awesome. It's the awesomest thing ever, and that's not even a word. It's the coolest thing ever. Now, here's my question for you to end this lesson today. Which of the following three describes you right now, right here? Not where you've been, not where you're going, not nothing. Which of these three describe you right here, right now? And now that you have the truth about the different levels of Christianity and what type of Christian you are, what are you going to do about it? Here are my three suggestions for you before we go to our video today, which actually is going to talk about exactly this. Make sure you're really saved, number one. Make sure you're living according to biblical truth, number two. And make sure you are who God created you to be. Those three things, those are my suggestions today and every day. Viscap says, the red crown thing is only monthly for supporters to Rumble. No, I don't know. I don't know what all the different emojis are and crowns and all that. Says, I'm a monthly donor, but nothing shows up. Then that means you're probably not anymore. Means you were probably unfollowed from the page on accident, you know, by tech problem, and you have to re-sign back up. Maybe not. I don't know. That just seems to be what it's like. Miranda says, what happened to my rock? I was a monthly supporter too. See what I mean, folks? It's just a thing. Now, I'm going to talk to Rumble today about this, but I have brought this to their attention many times, and it's just a bug that they just can't seem to... It's a bug that they fix and then comes back, and it's random, and... Jessica, no, I did not send out a newsletter this morning. Nope. Not today. That's why I always ask you guys, make sure you're signed in and make sure that you are still following. Okay? I'm Sullivan says, I'm a mix of traditional and biblical, but striving to get to biblicist. Me too. I mean, that's where we want to stay every day, right? So again, make sure you're really saved. Make sure you're living according to biblical truth. And make sure you are who God wants you to be. Now, we're going to switch things up today, okay? How you doing, Hick Homestead? My name used to be Mama Bear Meg. Well, hi, Mama Bear Meg. Glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Missed you. We're not doing Ray Comfort today because I already showed you all the most recent Ray Comfort videos. Now, today, we're going to go back to our friend here at life.church. To talk about what kind of Christian you really are. We'll play this for about 7-8 minutes of this. Okay? All right, here we go. Roll it.
Are you one of those bold ones? I mean, you know you've been chosen and called by God. When you wake up every day, you know you're on assignment by God to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. You spend time in His Word and you're sensitive to the Spirit and you're prompted multiple times a day to reach out to someone, to show God's love. You know, you're called to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, showing the name of Jesus, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you a bold, Spirit-empowered, faith-filled follower of Jesus? Are you that type? Or would you say, I'm more the normal type. You know, I love God and all, but I don't want to go overboard. I mean, you know, I'm going to do my spiritual thing. I'll go to church every now and then, and I'll read the word occasionally. And, you know, I want to please God, but I'm just a stay-at-home mom trying to change diapers. You know, I don't have time for all of that. Or I'm a Christian, but I'm just a student trying to graduate and not drowned in student loan debt. Or I'm, you know, a grandparent, I'm a Christian and my kids are grown and I've worked really hard for a long time. I'm just trying to enjoy life. I'm more of the normal type of Christian. If you're a Christian, what kind of a Christian are you? Are you the bold, passionate, spirit-filled witness type? Or are you the more normal type? Now, if we were about 20 minutes into the message, meaning I've kind of broken you down with some stories and humor and I could go for it, about that time, if we were 20 minutes in, I would remind you that Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. I'll vomit you out. I would tell you that if we were later in the sermon. But since we're just getting going, I'll keep it kind of friendly and I'll save my punches till later. But what I want to tell you on a serious note is if you're a Christian and you think you're just a normal Christian, you couldn't be more wrong.
Amen. I like that.
You could not be more wrong. Because if you are in Christ, there is nothing normal about you.
Amen.
Nothing at all.
Amen.
In fact, Scripture describes you as an ambassador of the Most High God.
Woo!
If you are in Christ, you are a representative of God sent by him from heaven to earth to show his love. In fact, Paul told us this when he was writing to the Corinthian believers. It was about 55 or 56 AD. In 2 Corinthians 5, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. If you are in Christ, your past sins are forgiven. Your old life is gone. You've been changed and redeemed by the power of the risen Savior. You are not the same. The new has come. And he says, all this is from God. Now, watch how many times we see reconciliation mentioned in God's word. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself. He makes us right with him. And through Christ, not on our own, but through Christ, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Scripture says, and he has committed to us, that's you, that's the Christians, the message of reconciliation. So who are you? Let's say it aloud, type it in the comment section, who are we? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. Watch this. As though God were making his appeal through us. What kind of an appeal are you representing the love of God? Paul said this, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God. Who are you? Scripture says if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone. And now you are an ambassador of the Most High God. What does that mean for you? If you're an ambassador, let's talk about the Greek language so we can kind of understand the word. The word translated as ambassador comes from the Greek word prosbeo. We get our word taco bueno from, we don't really at all, I just made that up. But this Greek word appears two times in the Bible. It appears here, and it appears whenever Paul says that I'm an ambassador in chains. In other words, even when I'm in chains and locked up in prison, I'm still an ambassador for God. And this word means an ambassador. It means a chosen representative of a ruling authority. It's a representative. We could say it this way. If you're an ambassador, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent from one country to another to promote and protect the interest of their home country. What are you? You are the highest ranking diplomat sent by God from heaven to earth to promote and protect the interest of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Who do you think you are? If you're in Christ, You're not just a normal Christian. There is nothing normal about you. If you are in Christ, you are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth.
So again, what kind of Christian are you? Now, I got to play this last video here for you today. And this is from George Jenko, who is on his own journey with Christ. And he's trying to stop swearing. And he had Cliff Netchell on his podcast about a month and a half ago. And I want to play this for you. It's pretty tear-jerking.
Stop swearing, but I'm full of shit. I am a garbage human being. And I am nowhere near what these people that are on the street are shaking my hand and be, oh, yeah, I'm not that guy. I'm a wannabe. I want to be that guy. And you told me a verse that, like, Cliff, it saved my life. Like, I can't even tell you how many times. Like, I wouldn't even want to open up my Bible because I feel like I'm the Pharisee. Like, I'm the guy that when God sees, he's like, yo, you love me with your lips, but you're so far away from me with your heart. And then you read me a letter that Paul wrote that he was talking to God and how he says that he can't wait for death so he could separate himself from flesh. How can I explain to somebody that you're never going to be perfect? You're always going to fail God, but yet you're still going to be good enough to go to heaven. I understand the term of good news now, because you're a piece of garbage, yet you're still able to come here. How do I teach a man to believe that when I can't even believe it myself?
You bet. Good question, George. I'd like you to read Romans chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul says, the good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, I do. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ.
I am trying to...
So ladies and gentlemen, even though George is failing all the time, God knows his heart. God knows his heart. And that is what I tried to look into today. All right, guys, that's going to do it for Rise Up. We've got Mike Crispy and Unafraid coming up next, always followed by 2 hours of Live from America right here on LFA TV. May God bless you. May God be with you. Have a great morning, everybody. Thank you for being here with me today. And God bless.